wurde der Name des Hadiths
von?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. The questions which have been asked, I'll deal with them or where there's repetition, I'll try to address them for everyone. Honorable Mayila raised the issue of the expected a clean audit, and I think that was the same question or issue raised by Honorable Mothapo. I think honorable members have raised the matter when I presented the annual report last year to say, considering the financials of the institution, it will be difficult for us to reach a clean audit, but we strive very much hard to make sure that we achieve a clean audit, and indeed we lead by example and as an institution which is promoting a good governance. But then I will detail what are the challenges which we have to be at this position we are in. The sub matter or the Reserve Bank matter, I think everyone knows that I lodged the application to oppose, and then whilst consulting, appointing the legal team, and when we deliberated on that matter, I agreed that the remedial action be set aside, the remedial action 7.2. And I did that based on the fact that I explained that it was not the intention to be peremptory or to be instructive in that particular remedial action. And it was not the intention to instruct Parliament to amend the Constitution. The intention was to recommend that this needs to be looked into because it has the following potential. I think I've explained in the affidavit what was the reason behind that particular decision. Therefore, the matter was, I acceded to that, unfortunately or fortunately, it went ahead, and you could see that I never defended and I never presented on the day of the deliberations, and then there was a judgment as far as that is concerned. And on the issue of lessons learned, it was making sure that definitely our report, again, the lesson learned in this particular issue is that an institution of ombudsmanship, when it was established, to make recommendations, and especially making recommendations like international-wide, and ombudsmanship is making recommendations and is supporting that it's a constitutional institution supporting democracy and making sure that governments achieve good governance. Therefore, the Nkandla judgment or the matter which appeared in the Constitutional Court changed the legal framework of the public protector as an ombudsmanship. It ended up having our remedial action being binding. Therefore, the public protector, each report which I'm issuing and the remedial action is no longer a remedial, is no longer a recommendation, but that is a binding finding. Instead of before an ombudsmanship, you would make a recommendation where the state can change certain way of doing things, and you know that that is a deliberation. But now the way we are structured, or the way now the legal framework is, then that is binding. That's the lesson I have learned, and to make sure that all our reports now, though we have the quality assurance, we have our legal team looking into the legal provisions, it's making sure that all the reports are checked by our legal team. Again, not having, it's only a one-person legal section, but we will try our best to make sure that we are now under a lot of scrutiny because our reports can be taken on judicial review. Then the issue of the state of capture report, I think this is a repetition of a question which was asked by Honorable Mayila and Honorable Bongo, who compiled the report. I think in the last first annual report last year indicated that PricewaterhouseCoopers was appointed to do the investigation and risk diversion and Simon Delaney. They were the investigators. So if the difference of using consultants, again, Honorable Brighton Bass is not here, is that, oh yes, you are here. The usage of consultant in this particular instance, I'm not using consultant to conduct an investigation. I'm using consultant to provide a space because legal services, your counsels and IT specialists, actuaries are still captured as consultants. So that's the difference. But then the state of capture report was investigated and compiled by PricewaterhouseCoopers. And then the issue raised by Honorable Swart, indeed it's a very serious concern for us, our financial position. These are the issues raised by Honorable Swart, Honorable Horn, Honorable Matthias, in fact all the and Honorable Breitenbach. On the financials, I must indicate that the Private Protector Office, in fact, a lot of the financials we've incurred are legacy financials. I joined in October already, the spending which has been there. For instance, Honorable Brayton Butters using an Honorable Horn are referring to the increased spending on the travel. The catering, the foreign travel, and all those. I must indicate that the Public Protector South Africa has a policy of utilizing the national holidays to promote access to the institution. So the former Public Protector had already conducted the road shows and utilizing those public holidays to be promoting access. And when we have those functions or those roadshows, we do provide catering. We also have the team which is supporting the provinces on traveling. So the cost of traveling, the cost of catering is based on the roadshows which were conducted. And remember, they were conducted by the former Public Protector. They were conducted by myself as a new incumbent, introducing myself, sharing my vision with the South Africans. And I must indicate, Advocate Brettenbach, I haven't traveled abroad. And as I indicated, I committed in the previous annual report that there was a moratorium on that particular issue, and these are the costs which were incurred by the former Public Protector of traveling overseas. The only one which has been attended to was in Zambia. That is a compulsory one for IOMA because that one I'm serving in the Ombudsman Association as the board member because I'm chairing the board the IOMA board in KZN. So the financials, again, the concerns which, in fact, let me then say, on the victimization of whistleblowers, the criminal sanction of a whistleblower who lied, I think that we need to make sure that it's maintained because it's an issue of rule of law. If you are a whistleblower and you are raising things which are non-existent, and we act on that and it has repercussions or implications on people who you've raised or you've indicated, because again, we cannot just accuse people of things which it's alleged they've done, whereas there is no evidence to that particular effect. The judicial inquiry, I think, on the issue of state of capture, I think you'll realize, Honorable Swart, that I've also lodged a in fact, when the president lodged the application to set aside the remedial the remedial action or to suspend the implementation of the remedial action, I oppose that application based on the powers of the public protector to make sure that institutions should know that lodging a judicial review doesn't suspend the implementation of the remedial action. So I think that one, we recently had a judgment where the judge found that this, due to the nature of the fact that the state of capture will be heard on the 23rd of October, then it will proceed as far as that is concerned. Therefore, whether the NPA is continuing with the investigation of the criminal conduct which has been mentioned in the state of capture, indeed, it doesn't suspend, because the matter, yes, it's on judicial review, but the report is still valid. I've already addressed the issue of the remedial action, which relate only to Reserve Bank, and I've indicated why the remedial action was captured as is. It was not the intention, and that's a lesson one has learned in the institution to make sure that this doesn't repeat itself. And then the litigation costs, I must indicate that on the litigation costs, the office in the past only budgeted 500,000. And the last financial year, that has escalated to around 6 million. And remember, the litigated, those costs are based on the on the former public protector's report, because we had 22 reviews which are still pending, and it's old reports which were issued by the former public protector, and I think some of them we will be defending, some of them we will just abide by the court to make sure that we either safe or where there are no legal implication on the powers of the public protector. We've already done that on the two against the post office, report, and another one of Nelson Mandela Bay report. So we are not opposing on those ones. And then Honorable Horn, I've indicated the financial statements matter on why we are in this current financial status. And why we request more if the targets are met. On joining the public protector, we were in the process of amending our strategic plan. And there are some of the targets which I requested that, because it's allowed to indicate that we are discontinuing them. So some of them we've discontinued to make sure, because of the issue of capacity not being able to meet those targets. So the one which has been raised by the Auditor General of the investigation plans versus what the Auditor General has found, that has been worked on, and again we've changed the our targets to be smart, because they were not smart, and we now have the approved service delivery plan where we know how long we'll be taking to investigate matters, and we are separating those ADR or alternative dispute resolution matters, because some of them don't need an investigation plan, some need an investigation plan when it's a formal investigation. So measures which have been put in place is that we've separated the early resolution matters. They don't need an investigation plan, because it's your contact of the department, the matter is resolved speedily. But then only on cases where we are conducting investigation and an alternative dispute resolution has failed, then we conduct a formal investigation. And then every case does receive due attention, in the sense that we, on the formal investigation once, after the investigation has been completed, when the report needs to be drafted by the investigator concerned, and in report writing, there's a lot of analysis of the information which is involved, especially on the complex matters. And once that is done, we also have a quality assurance team which will have to look into that particular case or particular complaint or report before the legal team can also check on that before we issue a Section 7-9 notice. And issuance of a Section 7-9 notice is still part of the investigation. Remember, the investigation is not complete, like in the Freedom matter. Not to say when the Section 7-9 notice has been issued, the investigation is complete. The Section 79 is issued with the intention of getting more information from the implicated parties. So in the Frieda matter, the investigation of collating information was completed, Section 79s were issued, but then there's new information which has been came up from the government of Free State, which still needs to be analyzed further. And we cannot rush to issue the report when this information has come to the fore. So that's the reason why, yes, I acknowledge, I promise that the report will be issued, thinking that every area has been covered, but then you find that there's information which comes to the fore. The increase in local travel and food have indicated that it's the expenses which have been there before I joined, and then with my road shows, then the cost escalated. On the public confidence and trust, that's the issue which I found when I'm visiting the provinces on these public protector road shows. And I've indicated what were the concerns which were raised in those provinces, and I've assured South Africans that I'll be serving them without fear or favor. And I've received a lot of, I was well received in those areas or in the provinces, and it reflected that there is that trust in the institution of the public protector, because the people realize that the public protector is a safe haven for them to raise their concerns. The remedial action or remedial action and recommendation typo, I think I've already explained that anyway, I never said it was a typo. I said it was not the intention to capture it in the peremptory manner. I think I've also given some of the examples where matters which are investigated by a power protector, I think Honorable Horn was around when I was saying you find yourself now having to make sure that each report which is issued, it has to be properly, or the remedial actions, since they are binding, we need to make sure that they are properly captured. Honorable Matthias is not here, but what I would indicate, the deficit of 18 million, there's a presentation we've indicated to the members what caused the deficit and why it increased from 5 million. And it will link up to why the issue of consequence management, which has been raised by Honorable Mutapo and Honorable Brighton Buff, was raising, where is the CFO? Those were the results of this issue, because the issue of, we'll start with the unkept leave. All these years, remember, the private protector had staff which were seconded from Department of Justice. Nothing was uncovered, or the Auditor General never picked up this issue that there is money which, we discovered when we had one colleague from Eastern Cape who was retiring. And that's when we discovered that this person has been in the public service for a long, was seconded, was transferred to the public protector, because some of them were seconded to the public protector. Now we discovered that this person must be paid their cap leave. And then we discovered that there's a lot of other employees from the former Botswana, those who were seconded from justice to the public protector, who have unkept it. That money has been recently discovered, hence the deficit is so high. Secondly, the issue of moving away from Department of Justice, seconding staff from Department of Justice, being appointed by the public protector. Then there was around 10 million issue of owing the UIF, which was never disclosed again by the former CFOs and everyone to the AG. And the CFO and the team and CEO had to negotiate with Department of Labor to agree to reducing that 10 million to 1 million, hence you'll see there's a 1 million for the UIF. It's added on the deficit. Then there is an issue of the rentals, which is also adding on the deficit, or which the CFO and CEO will explain better. For the OSD, it's only 4.6 million out of that 18 million. And again, the OSD going forward, it will be accommodated, because what I did with the OSD was to say, we then cannot, we need to discontinue certain positions, like in the support or administration, to make sure that we have money going forward to pay employees. And as I indicated, it was an anomaly where you find a senior manager is earning lesser than a senior investigator. But again, going forward, because we lose a lot of employees or senior, experienced senior investigators, hence we change to that salary bracket, which is better off, and you've got experience and you can keep those people. So that is the reason why the amount is so high. Again, as I indicated, it's legacy issues. There was an issue which has been raised about the and there's outsourcing of investigations, which happened prior my time, which is still haunting us, and that's also one of the biggest issues of irregular expenditure. That report is damning report, because there's still a lot of money where firms were paid money and the investigation report is not there. So that is still the biggest issue we're dealing with as an institution, which is creating this problem in the institution. Honorable Mateus was raising the issue of the over-the-barrel matter, and indicated the letters were not responded to. I think I'm willing to send copies of proof that we responded to Honorable Mateus. We normally try our best to respond. He wrote in May, we responded, he was giving us 30 days to respond, we responded indeed. And we indicated that matter needed a lot of investigation, and I must confirm to him the Section 7-9s have been issued against the City of Cape Town. The due date was on the 9th of October to respond. They requested an extension to the 31st of October, which we've granted, because we don't want a situation where we'll finalize the report and we are faced again with issues of judicial review. And then the Deputy Public Protector complained. I think Honorable Bongo has addressed that, because the Deputy Public Protector is appointed like a Public Protector. It's also appointed by the President. But then what I can indicate about that complaint, which has been raised against the Deputy Public Protector, internally I discussed with him, I determined or investigated whether he was involved in that. It's a matter of Eguruleni, where there were allegations that he instructed that the issue of around, I think it was 1 billion irregular expenditure should not be investigated. But on my investigation, then I uncovered that matter is part of our investigation, and the Section 7-9 will be issued soon. So on that particular one, that's what I can say. Honorable Pumlwane, I think thanks for the support, and I think my expectations to the committee is to support the institution. We depend on the committee and parliament to motivate and also assist us in acquiring additional funding. Hence, I will also go into the details. Honorable Mutapo was asking, how are we going to spend the money? And I think the CEO indicated the money we will be spending, a lot of the money we'll be spending on investigative staff, which is 746 million, which will be spent on the breakdown. We have provided, because the last time you requested we give a breakdown, we have done that, and we are also indicating how we're going to be using the money, and it has reduced to 884 million. It's no longer 1 billion, and it's detailed on how we're going to use the money. Honorable Brayton Bath and Honorable Mutaku, for the consequence management, hence I'm indicating the CFO, yes, was suspended and then we had to reach a settlement. He's no longer part of the Public Protector, South Africa, and the current acting CFO has been seconded, or we requested, but we wrote to Treasury, we wrote to State Security Agency to avail a CFO to assist. Hence, we have the current acting CFO who is availed for a period of 12 months until we advertise the post, because we've reached a settlement with the previous CFO. And I must say that a lot of financial problems we are having were as a result of the misstatements, which you have a CFO, but on the other hand is outsourcing the very same work to Deloitte and Touche, and you still have a finding on those issues of misstatements. So I think we are implementing the consequence management, and indeed, and we need to lead by example as an institution. Again, on issues of not paying service providers within 30 days, the CFO and CEO know that we developed a plan, we have the spreadsheet of all those companies. We are working hard on that, and we've developed an audit action plan. And monthly now we have also a checklist. Each manager, because every senior manager should be managing their finances, but as well making sure that if there's any procurement, there's any invoices to be signed on time. On that one, I must indicate that unfortunately we were also failed by some of the service providers, like your CETA, and there's a lot of invoices which were sent to us very late. And again, it will appear as if we've paid them late, whereas they submitted the invoices late. But that we will cure by proving that we received the invoices late from them. And the Deputy Public Protector, I've indicated that he's not here today. I think for the past two meeting, in fact, the first one I came with the Deputy Public Protector, but now I've reallocated him to, because I can delegate to the Deputy Public Protector. The biggest concern we have as an institution is also the issue of capacity building. I've delegated to him to do a lot of investigation and training. So he's busy with the training. I think today or tomorrow he's in Northwest to conduct that particular training on investigations, because we've changed the term investigation template. In fact, a lot of officials were never trained on investigation manual. Again, we're training them on quality assurance, especially we've got a new template of the report and on quality assurance and how we need to have our report to a standard where it can stand in court if we are taken on review. I've indicated why we have consultants. It's what kind of consultants, like your legal consultants and I've dealt with why the increase in catering, domestic travel, and I've indicated the foreign travel. I haven't traveled overseas as yet. And the report which you mentioned, the provisional report of CX, the leak, it was beyond my control. It was sent to the relevant implicated parties, and the case has been opened. The investigation is ongoing, and we have a lot of the police have given a progress report on that particular matter, and we are almost at a stage, I hope, because that is within their hands, but we are following up. A case has been opened. They still have to go in interview or take statements from the people who have been implicated in that. Why sign the report? Yes, I signed that provisional report. In fact, it's a Section 7-9, because there was a decision which was taken in the think tank to say we are no longer sending provisional report. We're sending Section 7-9 notices. And then by doing that, the Section 7-9 notices, we're sending them to the implicated parties. We are no longer sending those provisional report to the complainants, because that's where we experience a lot of leaks. People will leak that report and say, this is what the public protector is going to find. And now when you receive the responses, it's a totally different report, because it's no longer maybe in your favor. So that's why, because again, Section 7-9 notice is still part of the investigation, hence the changes. Why send the report to the provisional report to the president? Because he was expected to implement one of the remedial actions. If you check the provisional report, that provisional report, the president was expected to appoint a judicial commission to investigate other apartheid corruption related matters, which we didn't look into. The report was never sent to the complainant, as I'm saying. There was a decision internally, the think tank. The reports on those Section 7-9s and provisional reports are no longer sent to the complainant, especially where we're still finalizing the in fact, it's still part of the investigation. The different part with the one which was sent to Honorable Water is that one was a final closing report. Then we needed him to comment before we can finalize it. Again, avoiding the very same thing which he did. Anyway, we've opened a case against him, and the police are investigating that. And they've transferred that case from Pretoria to Cape Town without our approval, which I've requested the Minister of Police. I'm not happy with that. The case must be taken back to Pretoria, because that's where we've opened the case. We cannot be expected to pay for our officials to come and testify in Cape Town if there's a need to do that. And then the clean audit, we agree, Honorable Mutapo. We are striving to reach that, and we will make sure with the team, CEO and CFO, that consequence management, if we are faced with that, we'll have to deal with it and achieve that. We're striving towards that. Hence, we've indicated that this is what we are striving towards. But we are working closely with the AG's office, because they also came to explain what are the issues to look into, and we are doing that. The issue of the AG, the newspaper one, we've removed it from the threat plan. I think that the current one is removed, or it's one of those which we will be no longer continuing with, because anyway, there's no measure which we could use. And especially by then, apparently they appointed, or they had a company which was monitoring. I think that's the same PR company which Honorable Breitenbach is referring to, but I don't know what's the name of that company. Currently, we are not using a PR company to do the communication. But if I can get the name, we can just clarify that particular matter. The organogram, Honorable Mutapo, it's only, we've broken down the costs. So it won't be dealing, it's not only for employees, it's other issues, but yes, the biggest chunk is the employees. And again, I said we need to only concentrate on the core, especially the investigative staff, not the support staff, because that's where we need a lot of capacity. Cases under review, I indicated that since I joined, I issued 17 reports. Out of those 17 reports, 5 are on judicial review. So that's the explanation of the report. Of the judicial review. The MOUs, we've signed MOUs with the SALGA, where we will be utilizing just now the matter of implementation, where we need to use the municipal offices, especially our outreach officials, when they go to various districts. They can have at least an accommodation or an office where they can work. The one with COPTA, we are finalizing it, because COPTA, we need it, especially for traditional offices, where we can, when we are going to Mbuzwana. In fact, for instance, we know that there is a traditional council office which is there. If there's no magistrate's office, we can use. So that one we are finalizing, and the Department of Justice. So unfortunate that there's a delay from both sides, I think the CEO and the DG, to just make sure that we finalize that, because the only outstanding thing was for us to identify the areas we would need, which I insisted we only need the rural far-flung areas, not the city, because that is accessible. So we need to cater for those. So we're in the process of finalizing them. And Honorable Bongo, I think the issues are addressed, some of them. The breaking, the damage or malicious damage to my house, the matter is under investigation, though the investigation, like any other process, will take time, I don't know, but the case has been opened, and I'm hoping we will know what is the cause of that. The damage to the office, we're still going to do the calculations, because the CEO, the landlord, and Public Works came, because that office is rented through the Public Works, though we are not happy with the support which we're getting. It's a long story about that, and when I arrived, I also indicated when the committee advised that procure instead of rental. That's where I wrote to the Minister of Public Works that we need to sever our ties, because it's quicker for us to procure. Like in Free State, we were removed from the office. It was a Public Works was delaying to sign a contract. We were on a month to month. Even the head office, we are in a month to month. If tomorrow they can say, it's one of the risks I've been saying, let's sever our ties. But now it was an issue of money. Because remember, when the allocations are done, they are sent to Public Works on our financials. As soon as we resolve that issue of the financials, then we can proceed on our own. And I think the buying and saving on cost will be helpful. The Honorable Majake, the cutting on spending, yes, we're doing that, and indeed, we have a moratorium now on filling of posts, especially for support staff. We are not filling them, and we've indicated how much we've saved. We will continue doing that. And then the issue of FISD, the Forum for Institutions Supporting Democracy, we're meeting every 3 months. On the 13th, we are meeting at the Public Protector Office. And we've drafted the terms of reference, and I think in our statistics we've indicated how many cases which we don't investigate. We've referred to them, especially other institutions to deal with, your Gender Commission, your Human Rights Commission, and your Public Service Commission. So we're working very closely on that. The systemic investigations, 16, because the target is saying 16, conduct systemic investigations. So we have 16, and it's only one which was concluded. It was a formal report. A formal report takes time, but then the interventions, we've also indicated how many we've done. But there is a lot of delay as far as that is concerned, because the systemic investigation is where, like your home affairs issues relating to immigration matters. Because it's a lot of applications which are always recurring, or your RDP complaints, that's what we found in all the provinces, or health-related complaints. So those are investigations which do not only address a particular one institution, it's like you're dealing with a systemic investigation on all the provinces. Thank you, Chairperson. I don't know whether you...
Sorry, there's some questions of mine that haven't been answered. May I inquire as to why?
May I do so, Honorable Breitenbach?
There's some of my questions you haven't answered. Do I need to ask them again, or are you not answering them? Or?
Don't ask the question again, just mention which one. Label it.
Label it. Hold on, station is shut. Uh, the question about your ordering the chairperson of this committee to amend the constitution and set out how the amendment should be worded. You then opposed that application, the review application, and later conceded. The question was, who provided you with such disastrous legal advice? Why did you
don't
take it?
I'm sure she has already had. Honourable Swart?
That's not the only one. You say that the provisional report that you sent to affected parties and the President was a Section 79 notice. Is that correct? But in the covering letter that you signed to the President, you referred three times to a provisional report, not to a Section 79 report. So can you explain that to me, please? Those two will do. Thank you.
Thank you. Honourable Swart?
No, Chair, just on page 5, that reference to the political party, I think one presumes that it's the majority party. I don't think you've clarified that. And then just following on, if I may have a short follow-up, I know time is limited, but on the issue of legal costs in the Absa Reserve Bank matter, I understand your attorneys have withdrawn in the review that's set down for December in the last 4 days. Is that due to financial constraints? If so, we need to know, or is it possibly, speaking as an attorney, you'd either withdraw if you weren't being paid, or you might have a difference, your client might differ from your opinion, from the legal advice given. So if you could give us clarity as to whether you've been able to establish why the attorneys have withdrawn from representing you, and possibly which is the firm of attorneys. Thank you.
Honourable Pongo.
Yeah, thank you. In view of the fact that there is a serious concern about these auditing firms like KPMG, to what extent do you really trust that report on the state of capture by PwC? Because
Chair, I must raise a point of order that state of capture report was signed off by the public protector. It is not a report by an audit firm. It is signed off by the public protector. So exactly the rule that the honourable member raised earlier. This is an aspersion on the public protector herself who drafted that report. They might have used, with National Treasury's approval, the funds were allocated for outside consultants, but that report was signed off, Chair. So I'd like to raise that point. Ask you to rule on that.
Can I come in here then?
Just a minute, Honourable Bulwana. I want Honourable Bongo just to clearly articulate what you are saying, because we need to rule on that in terms of what Honourable Swart is objecting to.
No, I just want to give some information. It is the public protector who said.
Before you do that, let Honourable Bongo come again.
My first question was the extent to which we rely on the reports by these auditing firms. There is a issue of the KPMG that is all over now on the media that they mislead. So now, to what extent does this do we have to rely on the reports of PwC on the matter of the state of the capture? That is my first set of questions. And the second issue, because you know the public protector is expected.
Just a minute, is this what Honourable Swart is raising a point of order on? About reflection on the
integrity of the public protector, because
the report of the public protector
was signed off by the public protector. It is not a report by PwC. It's a massive distinction, Chair. They at that stage might have used an outside firm to do that investigation, but it was signed off by the public protector. The honourable member is now casting a spur on the public protector.
Honourable Bumlana?
No, I think what happened here, the truth of the matter is that there was a donation of not so what, about 5 million that was given to this firm of auditors. well known, it was explained to us that it was given to this firm who conducted.
Can you just hold it there? Because now it's even becoming worse. Because now we're entering into something that we don't have information on.
We
can't manage as a committee to deliberate on that. If we had a report of that nature, unless the public protector wants to say to us, that he can actually brief us on the information. No. She's shaking her head. Her head, it means she's not going to manage to give us information on that. Honorable Bongo, with the objection of Honorable Swart, just withdraw the statement.
Chair, I don't see a basis. I'm asking a question that must be answered to. I've not made any statement.
Chair, you've made a ruling. I'd ask you to enforce your ruling. Thank you, Chair.
No, I asked a question that must be answered to. I've never made a statement. Can I move to the next set of my question?
You haven't withdrawn yet.
Honorable Bongo?
No, let's vote on the chair as members. Whether I must be drawn.
I think you're cutting a special.
I can't withdraw a question. I'm asking a question.
The rest of the questions, let's hear, then I'll
fight again. Can I ask my next set of questions, Chair?
Breitenbach. The meeting is still continuing. Go on, Honorable Bongo.
All the new questions, I've got plenty. You can be here for the rest of the day. Thanks.
She's done. Go on. Okay. Honorable Mathapo.
Okay. Thank you, Chair.
The
follow-up chair is done. You kindly unpack when we were explaining the decision, I didn't get it clearly. Bob, the case, I was a bit confused. You can't unpack it. This mention of the 10 million, so I got lost. And then I get the contingent liability on page 134 of the report. You can comment on that. And again, Chairperson, another thing, the issue of outsourcing of investigation. You, in your report, you said it happened before you became the public protector. As of now, what is the status quo? What is obtained? Thank you, Shepard. In terms of outsourcing of investigation. And the issue of OSD, where you can't tell the portfolio committee how is it, although you responded partially to what honorable member here on the right hand side of has asked, but can you kindly unpack it? The OSD and those in Bulukwane of the Limpopo, those of temporary investigators. Yeah, something like that. What's the situation now? And thank you, I went to the office. At least the front part is now okay. But issue of ablution facilities. An issue of a telephone. Well, no, there is no point.
You're protected, go on, Honorable Mathapo.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Because it's part of this, it was raised earlier. So I'm giving a feedback of what is transpired. Issue of telephone went to the consultation. There's nothing when the phone went to the consultation. People have to go up. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Honorable Mathapo. Honorable Maila.
Thanks, Chair. I think you allowed the issue of follow-up questions premature because the team has not yet concluded answering.
They have.
No, there are still some
Is there a question that you're still worried about? Just express
it. I'm saying this thing came prematurely, and it is it is the culture of this community that some questions can also be answered in writing.
Thank you, Honorable Maila. And then what I just want to actually emphasize is that false disclosures is now a crime in South Africa in terms of the Protected Disclosures Amendment Act. Something very new, and let's see that provision in that act really working. Because false disclosures is partly what sometimes create a lot of confusion in South Africa. And it doesn't only create confusion, it continues to hurt people unnecessarily, because by the time you actually prove yourself clean on a false disclosure, it has almost completely destroyed your life. Travel overseas, we appreciate the fact that you haven't traveled, but the message we are not sending to you is that you shouldn't travel overseas, public protector. Because you know, sometimes in the manner in which we engage, it will be as if we are saying that it's a taboo to travel overseas. What is just good is that members had an impression that the spending on overseas travels was actually done during your tenure, when in actual fact it was outside. But the message is not that there is something wrong with travel overseas, as long as it's on business that is mandate related and within the resources that the office can actually afford. One other thing in terms of review of decisions of the public protector is what happens when people who do not have finances need to review, because you know reviews actually have to be done through the court of law. Have you ever come across instances where there are people who want to review but cannot afford the cost of taking the matter to court?
May proceed. Well, thank you, honourable members. Honourable Breitenberg, there was no legal opinion in drafting that report. It was senior investigators' work in the investigation and the drafting, and again the quality assurance, which was not similar to others. Hence, I indicated to Honorable Maila that now there are systems which are put in place to make sure that each and every report also goes to our legal section, though it's a one-man section, but to make sure that everything is captured properly. So that I thought I've answered in that particular respect. The provisional report which was sent to the President, I explained that the President was expected to establish a commission of inquiry on other apartheid corruption-related matters which we've not investigated. So hence, that provisional report, I'm saying provisional report of Section 79. What used to happen is that the provisional report by the former public protector and even Advocate Mshwana was sent out in terms of that section, Section 79, but they were not referring to it as a Section 79 notice. They were referring to it as a provisional report or preliminary report. So hence the wording, which you find there's a letter, but again, there is a where we are mentioning the provisional report. So, and then on the issue of Advocate Honorable Bongo, I think we can submit a submission on this matter, the utilization and the reports which were compiled, especially this one and the details, because Honorable Pumlano mentioning the figures which we don't have for now. So can we submit an explanation what happened in that particular matter? But again, that report indeed was issued by the public protector, irrespective of it was investigated by a consultant. But and I committed that that will never happen going forward where we outsource our investigations. But we can just explain the figures of how and what part was drafted externally. But again, it's a report of the Power Protector again, and I'm taking accountability for it because it's a Power Protector report. Then the issue of the deficit, maybe I'll allow the CEO or CFO just to explain, break it down, what caused the deficit. Because that deficit, the OSD, which happened during my term, is the only one which I can say is the deficit which increased the deficit amount. But what I'm trying to, what I was trying to show you is that the deficit is legacy issues. It's things which the previous CFOs never disclosed to the Auditor General. And the issue of uncapped leave, as well the institution and even the agent, we never picked it up until we had an official who's going on retirement. And again, we are even saying if we have those old officials, I mean, passing on, we have challenges because we don't have the budget. But I think I'll allow the CEO to unpack it. The OSD is done for every investigative staff. So those assistant investigators who had complaints, they are catered for because we also included them in the OSD band because the OSD has several levels. We started with the senior managers and executives. We then filtered it down to the senior investigators, investigators and assistant investigators. I think we just paid them those who were not part of the OSD and they were monies which they were supposed to be back paid, but it was only for 3 months since April. So they've got their letters, they are on the new structure. If you can go back to them, you can check whether they are still having challenges, but then they are dealt with. And another issue I've never mentioned is that as to deal with staff morale and again to encourage the very same lower level, especially the assistant investigators, I've taken a decision and we've changed the policy. We are no longer advertising lower level, like lower than level 11, to out in external, we advertise internally, to give them an opportunity to move internally so that we can keep them after training them and making sure that they have a career move. The ablution and the telephones, CFO and CEO, we need to work on this, and I think we should be reporting back on what steps we've taken to do that. And the issue of the financial, the PDA, false disclosure, I think that's very high, and we'll have to make sure that every PDA matter we receive, we deal with it, and we make sure that we also not assisting or perpetuating the wrong information. The people who do not have funds, we normally don't have that because we are taken on judicial review by institutions, the government departments and municipalities. And again, I indicated earlier that I will try my level best that we don't reach that stage of a judicial review, especially when we are investigating, we're sending Section 79. I'm always pleading with government departments to say, please respond, open up, give us all the information. And that Section 79, if you don't agree, give us more information to contradict whatever we have found there. And when we have shown you that indeed you violated certain laws, you will agree that we are helping you, because I've been saying we're helping government institutions to shine, in fact, to do their work. Therefore, I'm trying to make sure as well that reports which I'll be signing have very minimal way of being taken on judicial review unless there is a serious disagreement between the institution and the government department. But there is this recent NES matter where the complainant will want the Power Protector to appeal the recent judgment where the court found against the Power Protector. Unfortunately, we cannot because there are no grounds for us to appeal, and again, saving on legal costs, we can't go that far, seeing that we don't have any grounds. But we will just find out from her how, we'll discuss with her what other measures she can use to be able to be assisted. Thanks.
Again, it's a question you haven't answered. And I think it's a misunderstanding.
Just wait a bit, Honorable Dr. I need to know if there's still any other person that needs to respond to some of the questions. Okay, do you want to respond? We'll give you 5 minutes. Otherwise, the rest can be done in writing.
Thanks, Madam Chair, the members of the committee. Yeah, this, there was an inquiry about unpacking the deficit. I would like to refer the members to the breakdown on the actual annual report on page 107 of the annual report. And on page 107, members will notice that there are two figures. Just at the bottom, there's a section that deals with reconciliation. The reconciliation part, which give us a total figure of 18 million, is a non-cash figure, but I'll ask the CFO to elaborate. The only cash portion that we can make reference to is the additional 6 million, which is just that section that talks about actual amount on comparable basis as presented in the budget and actual comparative statement. So that is the only cash portion, but I think the CFO is in a better position to just assist in terms of the technical explanation of why we have a deficit that looks like it's 24, whereas the cash portion of it is only 6 million. Madam Chair, if you can allow me.
Okay, thanks, Honourable Members. Maybe let me start by saying our financial statements are combined on the basis of accrual accounting, which requires us to recognize, for example, items like provision as under expenditure. If you recall, there was reference to capital, which was supposed disclosure, not actual payment. So in our financial statements, we need to show it as a liability. So why is we showing it as a liability on the balance sheet? Because it's been in the statement. So it also adds, though it's not the low cash, adds to the deficit. So one of the items is that then also has other provisions which were created at the end of the financial year because of provide for certain expenditure which would have been anticipated. I remember there's an honorable member who mentioned the note 29, which also talks about contingent liability. So those are the liabilities that we disclose so that we show a fair representation of our financial status at the end of the day. It's not necessarily cash movement, so there was no money in relation to paying for those expenditures. They are just providing. Then also we have depreciation, because again, we are accounting on an upfront basis of accounting, which requires us to incur a cost for depreciation, but there is no payment towards depreciation. It's just an accounting entry which shows how our assets are depreciating over a period of time. So those are the items that we will refer to. They added an amount which made actual expenses move from 6 million to 8 million. So it's what we wanted to explain.
Thank you very much. I'm going to take the opportunity of thanking the Office of the Public Protector for having come to present before us today and to say that we are sorry to have learned about your roof leakage. Though at the same time, our worry mainly is about the records, because the information that we got, you may still correct that information, because it doesn't necessarily mean that whatever we got from the media could be accurate. But what we got from the media was that records had been destroyed, and those records didn't have any backup. I'm not sure to what extent this is true, and we just need to be sure that officers of this nature have got enough backup. I'm not sure about your firewall in terms of the IT equipment, because you have actually indicated this as one of the targets in terms of implementation also of high connectivity and all of that. So I don't know in what target this falls. It means that target is failing if we don't have backup for these records, because the work that you do for the country is very important. And at no point should we ever find ourselves wanting in terms of availability of this information. We're also sorry to have learned about the house breaking at your home, and we're hoping that the security measures will be stepped up.
Outstanding
questions, like Honourable Swart is saying, which is also what probably Honourable Breitenbach might be worried about. You have to actually do them in writing. Honourable Breitenbach, what you could actually indicate, labeling, not going back into what you said substantially, is what is your concern, so that they note it and they will be in the position to write the report on it.
I've asked the question twice. It's clearly there's a reluctance to answer the question or engage with it. I'll put it in writing, and then I'll wait for my reply. But I do object to you not allowing answering a question.
Nobody's actually not allowing questions to be answered. If you're not satisfied with the manner in which the question has been answered, say so. And then what we have actually indicated, Honourable Breitenbach, is that the Office of the Public Protector would then respond. Maybe for now, they are not in the position to answer it in the best of their ability, but they have heard you. And I'm not going to ask you to try to respond to that question again. What I'm going to ask you to do is to put it in writing. And it must be what has been asked in this meeting, not anything outside the meeting. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.